Blog Talk Radio.
Beginnings is not just for the young. I love saying that. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again on Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you for tuning in. Those of you that tuned in by internet If you would like to call in, you can call in. We have an interactive Bible study, and if you'd like to call in and interact with our brothers and sisters of Christ, the telephone number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, oftentimes we'll ask you to hit number one, or you can just talk. Sometimes we just turn all the mics on. Amen. Turn all the mics on and just have a good time in the Lord. If you do call in, you can do that, 347-237-4054. We'll be in Maryland this evening, and that's the beautiful thing about it, you know, the God that we serve. Amen. The God that we serve, He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And we do thank you for tuning in. This evening we're going to have prayer, and we like to lift up a few people this evening in prayer. And if you have anyone on your prayer list, amen, make sure that you let us know so we can add them in to our prayer. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move on over to Maryland with Bishop Palmer. Gracious God, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you for calling us to a new beginning, to a fresh call of discipleship. Father, we're asking you that you allow us to deny ourselves. We thank you for that, for allowing us to deny ourselves and take up the cross to follow you. Thank you, Father, for that. It was at our baptism you claimed us as a child, and today we affirm that we have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer that I live, but Christ who lives in me. Father, we surrender ourselves right now with your desire and our life turned over to you. Father, we commit ourselves to a call of discipleship. We pray frequently, to study your word diligently, to worship regularly, and invite other people to a life of discipleship. Father, we encourage other Christians in the life of faith to serve those in need and to give joyfully of the gifts that you first gave us. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. This we amen. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I thought I heard Bishop Palmer over here, so I'm going to move on out of the way and allow God to work through him. And Bishop Palmer, we do thank you for taking out the time to come on and to share a word of God. I'm just excited to hear what God has placed in your spirit. Amen. So we're going to turn the mic on over to you, and we do thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Well, good evening to everyone on the air with us tonight. Thank you so much, Elder John and Suzanne, for having me on again. I certainly apologize for being just a few minutes late, but it's just a testimony in and of itself. Someone must need the word for tonight. It was a few accidents that I could have been in, but God said different. So I thank God tonight and bless God tonight, and really am excited about being on the line tonight instead of out trying to clear up an accident that God avoided me from being in. So I'm just overwhelmed with the love of God tonight. But let me move forth in the name of Jesus. Our subject tonight, this evening, is good or God. Everyone that knows anything about God knows that everything good is not of God. And I want to take my time and hopefully you'll reflect and you'll come back with me. I'll give you some time to express yourself during our evening as it pertains to being good or God. But let me just start with this. This is our season for refunds in our tax system called the Internal Revenue Service, that we do our taxes and we expect a refund, especially for those who believe that they have overpaid in their taxes. They look for a refund. And that is good. Amen. But everything, again, is not of God. God didn't set it up so you can get a refund. And everything that seems to be good is not actually of God. As a matter of fact, some people, even those in Christendom, fudge the numbers so that they can get a refund. There are some that will exaggerate the real facts, and any fact that's exaggerated at all is a lie in the eyes of God. So we do some things, even in Christendom, to try to make things good, but it's not of God. Those things are called illegitimate refunds, and they receive, and once they are received, I should say, year after year, because you can cook the books or fix the numbers, it becomes a practice, and any practice that you continue to do, it becomes a habit. So people have to watch themselves on how they lean toward things that seem to be good, but not necessarily God. Hello, somebody. So we have to really guard, set a guard, and set a watch over the things that we speak, and put a watch over the things that we do. You know, even people are not exempt from being used as a IRS gain. I was just talking to my tax advisor this week and found that people are having children because they can get a tax break. And who would think that someone would have a child just to get a $3,000 check back at the end of the year? That's inconceivable to me. But it's happening throughout our lifetime, and those who believe that that's the way to make money are actually having children and child after child after child, which puts them into a thing called a bracket, and that becomes a low-income bracket when you have more children than you can take care of, so you have to depend on the government to help you. And it seems to be good that the money is coming, but it's really not of God, especially those who are not married and they're having children out of wedlock. So there are some spiritual brackets that God expects us to be in. And those brackets tell us how to live a life. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, how our internal GPS will guide us into all truth. In Philippians 3 and 14, which is our scripture for this evening, it says it in the King James Version, that, brethren, I count not myself which have apprehended, that's 13, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before me. That kind of sounds like GPS to me, trying to be God. I press toward the mark. I'm trying to find where it is. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is signaling us that we have an internal GPS that we need to go forth in and to find out how to get in the presence of the Lord. Now, the Message Bible says it a little different. The Message Bible says it the same thing in Philippians 3:14. I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward, et cetera, et cetera. So you have an internal GPS. The thing is that our GPS sometimes is not settled on getting to the kingdom. Our GPS is not programmed to get us where God would have us to be. And we have become accustomed to try to outsmart the GPS that is assigned to us. And our internal GPS tries to stir us in the right direction, but we have to override it with something that's innate in all of us called the flesh. I worked a job in human resources, and I was blessed by the job, and God supplied the job to me. And in orientation, as many of you have gone through, they tell us certain things. They tell us what kind of hours we're going to work. They let us know that you may have a representative in your union, et cetera, et cetera. You may be in the general service system, or you may be in the core comp system, or you may be on contract, whatever is your taste and whatever it is that God has blessed you to get a job. They reiterate the grade in which you were hired, so you know that I know I'm really a GS-7, I'm not a GS-15, or I'm not a supervisor. They let you know what you are and where you're going to be working. And then they go over your pay with you in the orientation. They tell you about your sick leave, or they should, your family leave, and they let you know the hours and the line of work that you're going to be doing. In some cases, they even tell you your dress code. They tell you if you have an office, they tell you if you have a cube, or they tell you your workplace. And they give you all that they possibly can to make you comfortable in becoming part of the organization. Now, here are the things that we accept sometimes and we don't even have control over them. They ask you what institution you want your check to go to, because we don't send out checks anymore. Most organizations don't cut checks for you biweekly or by the month. They ask for your banking institution for a number for them to send your check. And then they don't give you a choice about that, so you have to give them somewhere that you're going to have your checks sent. They ask you about your insurance options. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me just for a second. But they ask you about your insurance options, what insurance you would like to have. And they go on and let you know some things that we are not familiar with. One thing called the federal income tax withheld, which is part of your IRS, and that's called your FITW. It comes up on your check, and we don't have a choice. We just accept it. Then below that, we have something called the FICA, and many of us really don't even pay attention to FICA or what it is. And then after that, they turn on and tell you what your net pay is going to be. My thought is, just suppose, in human resources, they would ask you the good question. And that question is, if you were a Christian, and you would probably say, oh, yes, 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 you know, I love the Lord. God is good, and all the time, God is good. But and you go through your litany of praise. But then after they ask you a question and tell you that I'm saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Spirit, then they lay something on you like this. They say, well, where do you want your 10% to go? So, you know, we didn't fight FICA, and we didn't fight the federal income tax withheld. But the moment they ask you how you going to bless God, then all of a sudden, well, we can't do church and state together. And we start coming out with all of these excuses why we don't want what we need to have sent to God. That's just suppose. Because our internal GPS has cut out what really belongs to God. Now, I began by telling you God gave you the job.
Amen.
God blessed you to have the job. And then he's only requiring you to give a little of a lot back. Help us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So our internal GPS are sometimes cued, especially when we feel it's not taking us where we want to go. And many of us, Lord help us, Jesus, as it says in Chronicles 7:14, we will turn a different way. And the Bible tells us, if my people, that's my people, who are called by my name, you just said that you were a Christian, would humble themselves and pray and seek my faith and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land, in short, not in quote of the scripture. But that's what the intent is. If we would hear what God is saying to us and respond or react according to God, then will begin to bless us. But if our internal GPS is tuned in a different way, it will guide us to a different direction. You see, you got to have your eye set on the goal. And if your eye is not set on the goal, then we are apt to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Here's what happens in our internal GPS. Just watch for a second. Any GPS system, like our system, has to be precise. Our global positioning system, which guides us in our automobiles, is precise. It has to be, because if not, and it starts off in a wrong state, we'll never be able to get where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are on the air, if we had the same GPS starting from the same location, we would never get to the location that we desire to move to, because our GPS would be skewed, if you follow what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So our GPS have to have a foundation that is not flawed and is not skewed by any manner. In other words, you got to start off right. If
mm-hmm.
not, you got to learn how to correct wrong.
Amen.
What that GPS will do, when you decide not to follow it, it will come up, it will stall, and it says, I have to recalculate while
mm-hmm.
you're driving and send you another way. I tried to guide you to the kingdom, but you went another way.
No way.
Therefore, I have to recalculate because you're off course. And see, the problem with the saints of God is that they don't like the recalculation, so they continue on the path that they're on, believing that they're going to reach the kingdom of God. And the more they travel, the further away they get, because their internal GPS will not recalculate, or you won't let it. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, it all has to do with your faith. See, it takes faith to follow. Let me say it again. It takes faith to follow.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So when we jump in our cars, listen to this. We jump in our car and we dial in where it is we want to go in the course that we're setting for us to go. It takes faith for you to believe that those GPS instructions are going to take you where you programmed it.
Mm-hmm.
By faith.
That's good. That's good.
And we don't have problems with it. You know why? Because we've been successful in getting where we're going by following the GPS.
Mm-hmm.
So now when we jump in, we don't even think about it. Turn right, we turn right. Turn left, we turn left. Get off at the next exit, get off at the next exit, and we don't even know where we're going, and it tells us to turn in a certain direction to get to your end that you have programmed into your global positioning system. But with God, our internal system, we have a God that cannot and will not fail.
Amen.
But we won't trust him like we do our global positioning system. Isn't that something?
Wow.
God will tell you in your internal system not to do something. Don't go that way. Don't do this. Nope, don't cuss them out. You're supposed to be saved now. You should love the Lord by now. You should be mature enough not to roll your eyes, not to do the internal global system, that a governing system that we have in Christ Jesus. God's positioning system is different from the world's global positioning system. So he guides us with a masterful hand, and yet when we get off course, we will not recalculate or repent and get back into the right relationship with God. Therefore,
amen.
When you're out there and you don't know where you're going, it's a fine definition of being lost. Hello, somebody.
Wow.
We have to be able to recalculate the things that the world keeps throwing at us and putting at us and taking us off course time and time and time and time again, that we can get to the kingdom of God and keep going, pressing toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, in Christ, get on the right path. But it takes us to accept the fact that when we go wrong, we have to recalculate.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever set a course only to find out that you're in the incorrect place, even in your GPS? I set it in there, mm-hmm. and I find myself in the wrong place. The first thing we do is blame the GPS.
Yep.
That's right.
But
that's
you
right.
programmed it.
That's right.
You put the coordinates in. You see, so we have a program. It's called the Scriptures.
Okay, that's good.
That's a guidance that we must follow so we don't end up in the incorrect place.
Amen.
That's
don't
good.
Blame others for what you programmed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Too many times the saints of God are pointing at somebody else to say it's because of them is my downfall.
Mm.
Too many church hurts, too many things we've come. Oh, I outgrew that ministry. Oh, I'm not ready. Oh, God told me it was time to leave. All of a sudden, now you're hearing from God, but you didn't hear from God in the beginning. There are times for you to move on, but 9 times out of 10, that's a big, that's a high statistic. God has not told you to go anywhere.
That's right. That's right.
And we recalculate the GPS before we go through what God would want us to go through to get where we're going. See, when the Israelites left Egypt, God had to recalculate their GPS.
Mm-hmm.
He says, nope, I don't want you to take the shortcut. I know what the GPS is saying, but I want you to go around.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I send you directly there, you're going to run into resistance, and you're going to be too apt to return to what it is that you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So he guided the people around. But the great thing about God, is that he's instrumental, and he will direct us.
Amen.
He will put us on the straight path. He will take us exactly where we need to go. But our fear is that we will not follow him. Isn't that amazing? When we get to the point where we won't follow God, it tells us something about our foundation. And perhaps that's where the issues may be with the saints of God that find themselves not being able to follow God, not being able to trust God, not being able to serve God in the capacity which God calls them to serve. You know, I was just in a class tonight of young ministers that said that they were called to the Word of God, and they did it by a dream, or they had it somebody else told them or something. You know, when God calls you, God's got a voice. You have to be able to hear the voice. So here's what I told them. I said, okay, I need everyone to leave the room, please. So everyone left the room, and I was in the room, and I called them in, not by name, just by number. Everyone had a number. I said, why did you come when I called you? Because you beckoned me, come, Mr. Palmer. How did you know it was me? Because I know your voice. Every 100% of them said that when they come in the room. I said, but how did you know my voice? Because I recognize your voice from being in the room. See, when you become intimate with God,
all
the
right.
devil will know you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Know the voice that's calling you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you cannot see him. So our internal GPS can be programmed to follow the path of God if we decide not to recalculate or make it recalculate and turn and go in the wrong direction. So most of the time our wicked ways get us in trouble. And when we have wicked ways, if we can't get rid of them, then God says in Chronicles, then will I hear from heaven. He can't hear from heaven, not with you, but he hears from heaven all the time. I'll forget their sin and heal the land. But there is a condition there that we have to turn.
That's right. Amen.
We have to condition our GPS to turn from, we know that we are wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we know that we're not doing things according to the will of God. It's innate in us. It's built into us. You know, but we call it something. Something told me. That's what we call it. It's the Spirit of the Lord. But something, we just nickname it something. So it brings me to one of my second points about our foundation. Our foundation, if it's crumbled, if it's cracked, if it's not stationary, if it's not thick enough, then it's subject to the enemy.
Yes.
When they build your home, the engineers come in, and that's why you can't rush it. You want to get in your home so fast, you want everything done. But most times, many of us don't let our foundation cure. We build upon something that's not settled yet. We build upon something that's not set yet. We build upon something that is still trying to cure itself. That's why in the ministry, some want to be elevated so fast, their foundation is not set. And they build a house. It looks like a house. You know, it runs like a house. Lights come on like the house. Water runs like the house. The toilets flush like a house. Everything looks like the house is done. But then the foundation cracks. Because they wouldn't give enough time for to build upon. So oftentimes we found out that our internal GPS is telling us to or not to do something, and we ignore it, and we're ignoring the hand and the call of God. That's what guides us. Let me go to a few of the scriptures. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, their internal GPS told them to lie to the Holy Ghost. When Peter asked Ananias what he sold his land for, Ananias purposely told him a lie because his internal GPS was starting to recalculate and take him off from where he shouldn't have been. And after he answered, then it wasn't Peter that actually sent him to his death. He created his own suicidal by speaking it from his mouth. Amen. So when he went to his death, his wife now comes behind him. And evidently they had conspired before going out before anyone to come together and to both tell the same exaggerated truth, which we know to be a lie. But the fact of the matter is she had the opportunity to tell the truth, and so did he. But she decided to do the same thing that he had done, and both of them died needlessly that day because they didn't obey the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, they didn't follow their internal GPS. They went off on a different direction. So we find case after case, even in the scriptures, if my people, I'm telling you, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's the issue, that when we don't seek the face of God, and don't seek the right turn to get in the presence of God, we start
That's
having
good.
And problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't seek the face of God, you turn to the wickedness of the world, as we all did before we decided to accept the Lord as our personal Savior. We was under the wicked force, the dark place, doing all manner of evil. It didn't even, it, at one point in my life, in my young life, I didn't have a conscience about sin.
Right.
It didn't bother me. It didn't keep me up at night. You know, it was a sinful nature that had me. I was living in darkness, and until I was exposed to the light, I probably wouldn't feel being.
Right.
But I was exposed to the light. And the Lord says, once you're exposed to the light and to continue to obey the Lord, He'll hear from heaven, and then He'll forgive your sin, all that dark stuff you did, and then He'll start to heal the land. He'll start to heal that He has promised you to possess. I recall a time I could not, for the sake of me, understood how people could own a house and a new car at the same time, and they had the same pay that I did. Not possible. Just nearly impossible. But then when the light came on, it showed that how possible, even more profitable, I could be. Mm-hmm. See, those people that I was looking at that had what I would wanted to esteem to have, they weren't going to the club like me.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't buying rounds for other folks, Mr. Mm-hmm. Big Shot, like me.
Okay.
They didn't have their cabinets full of Cavassier, Crown Royal, and you know, Johnny and Walker and all the rest, red and black, don't make no difference. If you want to go low, I could go to Ripple. If you want to go real low, I could go to Mad. Whatever your pleasure was, I had the darkness for you because I was part of that darkness.
Yeah.
God changed my life and put me on the street called I began to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Watch now. I began to prosper. I didn't make any more money. I hadn't been promoted yet. I didn't make any more money, but the money that God had allowed me to have, it started to work for me a lot better.
That's good.
My 90% mm-hmm. was working better than the 100% of the darkness that I thought that I possessed on my own.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So things got better, and I started prospering because I was obedient to God. And then on top of that, I just wasn't a conqueror. I was more. Because he started to promote me, because my internal GPS started to kick in, say, man, I don't go to the club no more because the club is not for favor for me. You know, I don't do that anymore because that environment is not conducive to me learning about the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you mm-hmm. have to turn from your wicked ways and get through, recalculate your internal GPS. You have to do it, not man. Not the church pastor. You have to come to that conclusion that I must turn.
That's good.
So it comes to another case, the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, when he came, he was talking to the men of God. He says, man, you know, I've done some great things for people. I've done all this stuff in my past. He said, look, what you need to do is follow the Lord. I can't give up all my riches. I can't give up all my stuff. See, sometimes we hold on to stuff in the world too long.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does, it keeps us from being able to recalculate and get, you know, those old boyfriends, those old girlfriends, those old mm-hmm. songs. You know, that used to be my jam. You know, it's okay to remember. Mm-hmm. But those things can't become your God as they used to be our God when we were in the world. There was a time in my life I couldn't sleep without having a jazz song. I'd go to sleep with jazz and wake up in jazz. Had it all programmed. Before the programs came out that you could time things, I had it connected where my timer would come on at 5:30 and it would play the jazz set that I wanted to play years ago.
Mm-hmm.
25, 30 years ago. I knew how to make it happen. You know, as a DJ, you know, I'm going to make you jump.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about before even going to spin the records, I'm going to find out how to make them jump. Oh, they're going to jump off this. As soon as I throw this on here, boom, 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 boom. Amen. Flashlight, Roger, all the one, all the working, blah, 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 blah. You know, then I'm going to spin it, and I'm going to spin them around, turn them around,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll slow it down and pull it back and all of that type stuff. That was in my internal GPS on the things that I thought that I could do to make the people move. So I asked God, God, how do I make the people move? On the spiritual side now.
All right.
Mm-hmm. See, when you hit your Damascus Road experience, all that Saul was doing before he became Paul, all that Saul was doing, God turned it.
Yes.
Turned all that wickedness into goodness. And we have to determine whether it's good or God.
God.
Amen.
That's
Moses,
good.
Moses, in his experience, he knew that there was just something missing. I have something missing and something that I have to get in tune to. So Moses says, man, I've had all the great schools. You know, I'm on top of the world, but there's something missing in my life. And his internal GPS started to kick in to let him know, this is not where I need. I got everything. I don't need anything. But this is not where God would have me to be. I don't even know. So I didn't even know who God was, but he had to have that burning bush experience. And mm-hmm. many of us need that burning bush experience.
Mm.
where we can come face to face with God. Hello. And when we come face to God, God has to speak directly to us.
Amen.
And nobody else can do it. The preacher can't do it. The pastor can't do it. First lady can't do it. We have to have at Damascus Road a burning bush experience where God can set you down and speak into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's why many of us have to go through some things. And sometimes I was talking to a young man last week that had to spend 11 years in prison.
Hmm.
He said, that's the only way God could get my attention.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now he's on fire for the Lord. But imagine 11 years. Does it take that long for you to wake up and see that God is trying to speak to you? There's something wrong with your internal GPS. You just refuse to recalculate. You refuse to adjust it. But God will speak to us. And oftentimes, God will have to take us to a barren place. Listen carefully. God has to take us to a barren place where we can depend on nobody else but God.
Yes, amen.
Woo! Now, I hate for some to have to go through that, even in your sickness, even in your relationships, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you so much that he has to take you to a barren place where nobody else can whisper in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else can get you off track. Nobody else. The only GPS you have is God.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to listen to the voice of God. God says it in Exodus 33:1. He says it like this: leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, talking to Moses, and go to the land that I promised to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants. Now here comes the GPS. I will send an angel to guide you. Doesn't that sound like GPS to you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And I will drive out the Canaanites. Now I'm clearing the path. I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites. You are going to a rich and fertile land. They haven't been there yet. They haven't even gotten there yet. Listen, I'm taking you somewhere where you don't know. You see, when I jump in, my son just moved in a new place in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his address. I don't know his street. Only thing I know is he's got a house that was being built. So I said, son, give me your address. And, Dad, I live out. Just give me your address. I'm just going to plug it in the GPS. It's going to take me there. You see how we do?
Yeah.
We depend on that GPS to take us to our expected end.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
When God issues us his GPS,
mm-hmm.
right away, we start doubting where it's going to take us.
Mm-hmm.
But he sends angels to guide you. And the
yes.
thing about it is that he drives out all the stuff out of your path if you're obedient to go.
Yes.
It's one of the things that we learned, Lady Palmer and I, we learned from being in the military some 30 years, is that we went to foreign lands. Places that we didn't know the language and we didn't know how to get around, didn't know if we could drive our car, didn't know if our car was going to work, the TV is not going to work, the channels are not going to work, we're not going to have 800, we're not going to have this, we're not going to have the luxury of the internet, we're not going to have all of these things that are common to us. And then you go to a barren land and there's nobody there but God. When you become intimate with God and you start your devotional life in that manner, God starts to push you up. I'm telling you, God starts to push you up to a place that seems to be above where the eagles soar.
Wow.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, God, you can see things better. You can feel things. You can understand things. But oftentimes, God has to get your attention, take you away from all the things that you so are accustomed to having. The things that just eat up your time, the things that eat up your money, the things that eat up Everything mm-hmm. that God wants you to put back into the kingdom of God and be processed with, God says, I'll show you. And then he sends angels, the wonderful, almighty God we have. He sends angels before us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. So I'm grateful to how God has guided us, and he continues to work with us, but we have to be willing to recalculate and get back into righteousness and the spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to go to Exodus a minute and find out how God works through us. He says in his word, if thy presence go not with me, you know in Exodus 33:1, God told Moses, he said at the end of that verse, he says, but I will not go with you myself, but I will direct you with an angel to go, but I will not go with you. And then the reply that Moses gives back to God is, it says, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. Don't, if your presence can't be with me, I don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing that's peculiar about today's church. Many of us go to church and we get stuck in the atmosphere of the church, but we don't enjoy the presence of the Lord.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
We can get caught up in the praise and the praise teams and the songs and the shouting and even the speaking of tongue. How many know that? Well, I won't do that tonight. But we can get caught up in the atmosphere, but we miss the presence of God.
Yes.
God tells us if we learn that his divine intervention is always there with us and we trust in him as we should, we know that God is infallible. Our GPS mm-hmm. does know that. We know that the word is infallible. You know, by his stripes, I know I am healed. I know it in the name
mm-hmm. of Jesus. Yes.
I know that there's no question in my mind. You can't convince me that I'm out here with God. And here's your healing that God will set in your system internally in your GPS.
Hello?
Whether I live and or die, I am the Lord.
Yes, that's good.
Worried about where you're going. You know, you don't have to recalculate when somebody lays hands on you and tell you and give you, prophesy over you and tell you all of these things. Your internal GPS, when it's connected to God, God will reveal your healing to you.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Times when we have tough times, when they come, see, when tough times come, we automatically want to recalculate and go a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yes, we have lost what God has given unto us. Even the other day, Lady Palm and I traveling home, and mm-hmm. the traffic became thick, and we wanted to calculate and turn off on the side road and go a different way and let the GPS mm-hmm. take us a mm-hmm. short. How many know that sometimes your shortcut becomes the long way?
That's right.
So true.
If we only had to stay the course, it seems like you're moving,
so true.
But you're going further away from where you should go directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God has you, but our flesh will want to return back or go back or do something that worked for us before. Isn't it amazing mm-hmm. that the Israelites, when they come to the Red Sea and they start facing some resistance, that they want to go back and be back in Egypt. That they had been freed from, they wanted to return to.
Familiar.
Because they thought they had it good. You brought us out here, and all we have is manna.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You brought us out of here, and it looks like, and now look what you done now. Here comes Pharaoh. He's going to kill us. Now he's going to overtake us. Man, we had it better in Egypt.
Isn't that something?
We can see it right now on what we thought we had that was good. And sometimes God will put things in your way and make them barren for a while that you return back to God. That's where I believe the United States of America is right now, since we have turned far from God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus, we have turned so far from God.
So
you know,
far.
The things of the world that seem good to some are becoming reluctant to us. I mean, you know, we're at the point where you don't even know where to send your children to the bathroom. Which bathroom do they go to?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not a pink bathroom, blue bathroom. It's not a men's or boys, not this or that. You know, you go to the unisex. You go to this, you go to that. And it's a setup for the enemy, really, to overcome and overtake us. I'm telling you. So, you know, the fight, whether you are a boy or a girl, I have the right to be what. Well, be what you are, but as for Joshua said it so clear in Joshua 24:15. He says, as for me and my house. You see, sometimes you have to come to it and stick by it.
Mm-hmm.
As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, you can go ahead and do all this crazy stuff, don't know who you are, lose your ID, go this, go that, preach this, preach that, say this, I'm accepting this and I'm accepting that. You know, this is a hate crime, that's a hate crime. Going through all of these channels, but God says at some point you have to stand. And when you have done all you can do to stand,
stand.
Amen. I don't want to go back to Egypt.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care how food, I don't care how good the pig feet were. I don't care how good the collard greens were. I don't want to go back to Egypt.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be back where God has delivered me from. God has helped me to calibrate my life with Christ Jesus, and my GPS is set.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
See, Moses left Egypt. When Moses left and brought the people out of Egypt, where were they headed?
Mm-hmm.
Promised land. Isn't it so?
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm taking you to the The land is rich in milk and honey. And we still have the same mandate as Moses had from the Israelites. Our destination is programmed in our GPS to get to the promised land.
Yes. Yes.
And we cannot get there by just basking in the atmosphere and not being in the presence of God.
I like that. That's right.
See, the atmosphere that we go through is good. I'm not beating up on the atmosphere that you may be in. What makes you feel good in a church service? I'm not doing that. Feel good. Okay, you feel good. But the presence is what brings God an anointing in.
It goes beyond that atmosphere. That's right.
Yeah, you gotta reach beyond where you are. Our next
level
is saying our theme is that you can't stay where you are and expect to get where you're going.
Amen.
A satisfied being, they are. Because the atmosphere is good. I feel good where I am. But that's
but
the
that lifts. That lifts.
And God.
That feeling lifts. See, and then we got to go beyond that. That feeling, that good atmosphere, that we need to get into his presence, into his face, into his deeper, go deeper.
Yes.
It's more than just, because to me, that's just surface stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong, just like Bishop is saying, but we got to go beyond that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And God wants us to be authentic, you know, in our relationship.
Yeah. Amen.
We have to be to the. We got to take off the mask, and we got to be up. When we're hurting, we got to let God. God already knows you're hurting.
Yes.
So you got to let God know that you're hurting. I already know you're hurting, but I just got to admit that I am hurting. I'm going through. You know, God can heal you. God can see when we go. We are so backwards. I don't know how we got like we are. But we in the flesh have become so backwards because the world has programmed us to turn in a different direction, to counterclockwise to what God would have us to turn in a clockwise direction. See, we were programmed in some that's on this line that remember the things that we were programmed in even when we were small.
Mm-hmm.
Because we started with the days of our lives.
Yeah.
We started as the world turns. We started with all of my children. We started with, you know, General Hospital. All of those things that we would sit and try to watch the next episode and watch the next episode,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd try to keep up with the things of the episodes that we missed, only to find out that Miss Chancellor had a boy by somebody else and his brother and the sister, and now the baby is going to be the uncle of the one that's the grandfather.
Yeah.
And all of that fornication, all of that stuff that we were programmed to watch and to consume in our spirit as being okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, what, how long ago? 40, 50 years. That was a long time ago when we were kids. But it was designed for such a time as this.
My God.
Be able to accept all the mess that we see, and it shouldn't be a surprise to us now.
Amen.
That's right.
The news came on where now they have introduced a baby doll that's a boy.
My God.
And then the news came right behind that and started having on a cartoon that Disney now has accepted to say it's all right to boys to kiss boys and girls to kiss girls, and the boy that don't know he's a boy to be a girl when he's not really a girl. All of that is coming because we, the body of Christ, really have not taken our rightful place in the kingdom of God.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
And we have turned our eye to it. We are the strength. We are the force of the world that's going to turn it.
Yeah.
The government
that's
is
right.
not turn it. We see that. It is the church of the living God. If it's going to turn, it's going to turn by those. If my people, if the land is going to be healed, it's going to be healed by the people of
by
God.
By the people of God.
You're
talking, Bishop. You talking.
So we really have to get our GPS, you know, program and set for where God would have. See, we cannot compromise. Listen, I'm running out of time, but I'm getting a little excited. But
that's okay. Get excited.
I had this testimony by my great aunt. I hadn't seen her in 25 years because I had gone to the military and I'd come back on leave and I'd go to places all around the world doing all these particular things. But I hadn't seen her in all. So I said, whatever it takes, we're going to go and see her in Wilmington, Delaware, which she was in a home. By this time, she had dementia real bad and she didn't know anyone and I wanted to see her anyway. So Lady Palmer and I went to see her. And we were going down the hallway, and they were just, you know, kind of crying and weeping. She don't know her son, don't know her daughter, don't know her uncle and all of the brothers there. And they said, well, you know, she's got this. We love her nevertheless. So we went into the room, long story short, and she looked and she said, here come the preacher.
Uh-oh.
And I said, wait a minute. Now, you just say she don't know the son. I haven't seen her in 25 years. Because it's just been, you know, the absence of being where I can be there to see her. You know, I'm always overseas. I'm here. I'm there. You know, flying here. And so I walk into the room, and she said, and here comes his wife, Brenda. Just like. And I looked, and I'm looking back at the people that told me that she couldn't remember anybody.
She's in a different state, but
so she said, come here, babe. Come here, babe. I went over to the bed, and she said, come closer. And I got close to her, and I said, hey, how you doing? She said, don't compromise.
Oh, my God.
Two words.
Wow.
And then I raised back up, and she was gone. She was right back into her dementia stage.
Wow.
It about blew my mind. The shortest, most powerful sermon that I've heard in my entire life was two words.
Don't compromise.
Mm-hmm. Puts chills. It just sends chills through my system right now. In the name of so, but God can reveal things to you when your internal GPS is locked on Him.
Yes.
There was a time in my life that wouldn't have been nothing to me. have meant what it meant to me if my internal GPS wasn't turned on and set for the kingdom of God. Let me close with this. This has to do with fire. And please, it may be a takeaway for tonight. And thank you for listening to me. But there is a fire that's compromised by another fire. There's the fire of the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost fire. And then there's an artificial fire. How many on the line, you don't have to answer, how many on the line or on the air with us tonight have an artificial fireplace like me? In other words, fireplace is a gas fireplace. The wood that's artificially in my gas fireplace never burns. It is never consumed. I never have to clean up ashes because it's an artificial fire. Real fires consume the wood. They consume the elements that are being burned. That represents the fire of the Holy Ghost. What I'm getting to, sometimes we can be around people that look like they're on fire for God. They even feel like they're on fire for God. They can even produce heat like they're on fire for God. But that fire that they have cannot consume anything.
My God. That's good.
The same thing you see in there today, it's the same thing you're going to see in there tomorrow, and it doesn't switch out. It's the same fire. But the Holy Ghost fire has the power to change.
Yes, sir.
It has power to heal. It has the power to consume. It has the power to burn out diabetes. It has the power to burn out cancer. It has the power to something
that
uses us to do. And that's what it says in the Bible. If there's any sick among us, in James 13:5-18, if it call upon the elders of the church,
elders of the church
should be on fire.
That's good.
Not the artificial fire. So when it doesn't happen with the hands, it's not because you look like an elder. You act like an elder. You got collars on like an elder. You wear chains like an elder, ropes like an elder. All that stuff to make you look as though you are whom God has called you to be, but you have no power.
No heat. No, you're not hot.
Suitable to you at all. So if we're going to be for God, we got to sell out to God so God can use us
Hallelujah.
Real. That's a Holy Ghost fire that God would have us to be. In the name of Jesus.
My God.
So adjust your internal GPS. If you don't do anything else tonight, I'm already up shouting by myself in my own house. But if you don't have your GPS adjusted, recalculate now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir. In the name of Jesus.
Direct your path.
Amen.
For giving me the time, thank you, Elder Clay. I appreciate it. Went over a little bit, but in the name of Jesus, for allowing me to be on the program tonight, I pray that all will be touched by the Spirit of the Lord and that God will direct your path to where God will have you to be in the kingdom of God, and you do what you need to do. God certainly will bless you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So,
thank you.
Get back over to you, sir. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you
and
all in Jesus' name.
Thank you. We have a comment for you, Bishop.
Amen.
Bishop, one comment before we close up.
I just wanted to say, Bishop, that when you went to see your great aunt and she and all those people were there and they were saying the other thing where she was, dementia and all that, and she got close to you, the Spirit of God came in the room, the power of God came in the room, and in that instance, when she asked you to come down and let her talk to you, and she said what she said, she maybe not in the world that she that her body lives in, but her and God connection, let them know that when she came out and says, "Don't compromise,"
absolutely,
that connection right there let us know that her spirit and God's spirit is communicating, and giving it to the people to see that it, you might think that she's not here, but she's even here, greater than what you think she is.
Absolutely. Here. Praise God. Absolutely. I agree in the name of Jesus.
She and God, and for that instant, she came out
Alibusha,
to let them know, let the people know.
I don't know. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Thank you so
Bishop
much.
Palmer, thank you so much for
good word.
For the word. Thank you so much for taking out the time to bless the people of God. And I know that you do it on a regular basis there. But we thank you for coming on the airways to bless these people here. We thank you. And I pray that God will continue to keep you anointed, that God will continue to allow your words to resonate through the spirit of those that you come in contact with. I thank you for everything that you've done. I thank you for what you're going to do.
Yeah.
All of you are listening, we do thank you for tuning in. We're at the close of the hour. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Until next Wednesday.
Praise God.
Face the dawn.